Hello and welcome to episode one of the Dare to Dream Bigger business podcast. My name is Claire Yosa. I'm the founder of Dare to Dream Bigger and a mentor to passionate world changers. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to shift from wage slave to your CEO mindset when it comes to your business pricing. I've just been running the Dare to Dream Bigger Business Summit with 15 inspirational mentors from the business world. And one of the questions that's come up over and over again from those attending this live online summit is, how do I get boundaries with my pricing? How do I earn what's fair? Now, what's really behind this are so many issues. We've got self-belief, we've got self-confidence, we've got market awareness, but above all, what's happening is something that almost all of us do when we leave the rat race and go to set up our own business. We don't pick up our CEO mindset when we walk out the door of our paid job. We take our wage slave mentality with us. So there's something that really starts us off here, which is the difference between a wage slave, and I'm deliberately being a bit provocative with that term, and a CEO, is that a wage slave earns money. A CEO makes it. Now, if you go to set up your own business with the mindset of I have to earn money, that's not really a business. You're self-employed. You're still going to be exchanging your time for money. There's still going to be a limit on what you can achieve. You're going to be working so hard delivering services or products to your clients as well as running the business. So you're going to actually end up swapping what might have been an 80-hour week for an employer for a 120-hour week working for yourself. And most of us, when we go to set up our own businesses, we don't do it so that we can work harder, yeah? So this CEO mindset about making money is about splitting out the number of hours you work and what you get paid. It's looking at different ways that you can serve and help that don't require you to drive yourself to burnout and forget what your family look like. Now, something I see so often in the groups that I lead for micro business owners is people really not having a clue what to charge. They come out of the rat race, they look at their competitors, and they restrict themselves by what they see going on in their local market. So let's take the example of yoga teachers. I see so many yoga teachers who are running small classes of maybe 6 to 10 people. And they're saying, hey, it's a 90-minute class, but I can't charge more than £10 because people won't pay more than that. And when you start looking at their costs, they're working for below minimum wage. Now, the issue here is your clients will only pay you what you believe they'll pay you. Okay, if you think that people will only pay peanuts for your service, then that is what will happen. They pick it up. It's like a vibe. Like dogs can smell fear, customers can smell lack of confidence. And again, it's looking at things the wrong way around. So to start with looking at your pricing, you need to start at looking instead of how much do I want to earn an hour, which is a model I've seen taught so often in business classes, is what value am I adding? Okay, what value am I adding? What transformation am I creating? What experience am I offering to these people? And what is that worth to them? Now, I used to be head of market research at Dyson, which is a famous international brand. And one of the things we knew, we sold vacuum cleaners that were premium, but we also sold them at mass market volumes, which is very unusual as a business. One of the things I knew from being head of market research there was that what people said they would pay and what they would actually pay were two completely different things. So one thing I suggest you don't do is go out and ask your target market how much they'd like to pay you, because you will not necessarily get useful answers. And most people will come in at potentially half what they would actually pay. Instead, talk to people about what's it worth to you. When you're totally clear on who you serve and you've got absolute clarity on the transformation that you create for them and what that is worth to them, then you set yourself free from the wage slave mentality. So what transformation do you create? When people work with you, what do they get? If they don't work with you, what are they missing out on? It's really worth pausing for a moment and grabbing a pen and paper and writing down some notes on this. The reason people should work with me is because it helps them to. It helps them to release this. It helps them to gain that. When you're totally clear about the value you're adding, your pricing comes out of that sausage machine much more easily. Then you've got something Marie Forleo calls this the mattress method. It's taught a lot by different people, but she talks about how if you go to buy a bed, you can go in at the entry level and the salesman will say, well, you know, this is a few hundred pounds and it's going to give you an okay night's sleep and it'll last a few years. Or you can pay a few thousand pounds and every night's sleep will feel blissful and you'll wake up feeling so refreshed and you won't need to buy another bed for 10 years. So he starts talking about the benefits of the bed. He doesn't say, hey, it's got this many springs and it's got this kind of padding. It's why should you care? Now, again, as head of market research many years ago, this is something I was passionate about. Knowing the what is important, but what gets people buying is the why. We buy on emotions. So you might find that people like a particular feature of your product. The question I used to get my team to ask themselves when we were doing research is, so what? Or what does this mean? Why do they care? Why should they care? Why should they care about this feature? Why should they care about this aspect of my service or my product? What does it do for them? And if you can't figure out what it does for them, what would they miss out on if they didn't buy? You need to have that running through your bloodstream, that total clarity on what is the transformation I deliver. Now, think about it when people hit 10 years' time, if they haven't taken that up, what will it have cost them? If they do take you up on it, what will it have given them? And this is a way to look at your pricing. Now, one of the things I also find quite challenging in the market at the moment, particularly with coaches and consultants and people who are helping in the alternative fields, is the amount of stuff out there putting you under pressure to think about your lifestyle. Okay, my Facebook ad feed is full of people telling me that I should be living a first-class lifestyle and look at me, I'm on my private yacht and look at me on this beautiful beach and I live this wonderful lifestyle because my clients pay for it. Now, there's a problem. Most of us, when we leave the rat race and go to create our own business, most entrepreneurs want to make a difference. That's what drives us. But when you focus on your lifestyle, it's all about you. Think about it for a moment. Would you really want to go to a mentor and get help at a deep level, only to find out that what they're thinking about while you're sitting in the room with them or sitting on Skype with them is, hey, this session is going to pay for me to upgrade to business class for my next flight? No, you want them to be focusing on how they're going to make a difference for you and how excited they are for the transformation that they're going to create with you. So this is the thing. If your pricing is based on your dreams of your lifestyle, rather than serving people, they will sniff it a mile off. Yeah, we've all got radars for it. Yeah, we've got this BS radar. It's, oh God, this person is just so superficial. But if they've got glitzy enough marketing, we fall through the gaps. We end up getting trapped by this stuff. So I strongly suggest you also go back and really focus on, why am I doing this? What is my big vision? Now, I asked somebody the other day in one of my groups, what's your big vision for the coming year? And the response she gave is, oh God, I've got so many goals, I can't even write them down here. So the problem with that is it means she doesn't really have a big vision. She's got a list of goals. When you've got a big vision, you're totally connected with your purpose. You're totally connected with your big why. You've got total clarity about the transformation that you want to create, the difference you're here to make. You will then start to magnetize people who are attracted to that. It makes a most phenomenal difference. If you need help with this, then in the Dare to Dream Bigger Summit, which is daretodreambigger.biz, you will find a masterclass from Andre Hartwich where we're talking about big vision and how important it is and how it turns traditional business goal setting on its head and how when you're connected with your big vision, you reconnect with that passion, that excitement, that inspiration inside you, and you can get past pretty much any obstacle that life throws in your way. So check that out, daretodreambigger.biz. But the CEO mindset, the CEO doesn't sit there saying, hey, I've got a to-do list. The CEO has a big vision. The CEO knows where they want to go. They know where they're taking the business. They've got a one-year vision. They've got a five-year vision, a 10-year vision. It's this shift from wage slave to CEO mindset. And when you've got that big vision, you can start looking longer term at your strategic pricing. And I'm part of a business group on Facebook where people were talking the other day about launching their first online course with passive income. And so many of them were saying, oh yeah, you start pricing out really, really cheap and then you raise your prices. And I thought, Well, hang on. Why would you start pricing really, really cheap? So when you first launch the course, it's not really any good and it's not really worth anything and it won't really make a difference? Or is it your inner fear that's coming out? The self-belief of maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe people won't pay me if I launch a course at the fair price. So the thing is, when you start at a low price and try and put the price up, some people can manage this if they've got the personality, if they've got the following, if they've got the tribe, if they've got the marketing skills, but most people can't. If you start pricing cheap and then you want to put your prices up, you're not just putting your prices up, you are completely rebranding your business. You're going from Aldi and Lidl up to Waitrose to Fortnum and Mason. And that's a completely different set of customers. So if you go in at cheap pricing, people will expect cheap quality. They won't necessarily apply what you're sharing. And when you want them to trade up to the big stuff, you find that you've got a mailing list full of freebie hunters and bargain hunters who haven't really applied the stuff, so they don't understand what a genius it is that you're offering. So I strongly suggest if you want to try that strategy, that you make sure you've also got a strategy for how to get out of the cheap pricing. It's really hard with an existing customer base to substantially raise your prices. It's much easier to start off at about the right price and experiment. But going in low is a sign of lack of confidence and fear, unless the market you're going for is the budget entry-level mass market. So the other thing that comes up with pricing is boundaries. I was leading a webinar last night, and one of the questions that came up in the chat is, but if I'm successful in my business, how do I stop my friends and family from wanting freebies and bargains from me? Well, there's a simple answer to this. You need boundaries. They can only get them if you give them, okay? And maybe you just have a policy. It's okay, friends and family get this much of a discount. Or they get this in return for a testimonial. When you set the rules, it keeps that relationship healthy. If you feel scared that people will take advantage of you over your pricing, then they will. So you need to also look at your boundaries of, am I offering too many discounts? Am I giving too much away? When you set your price, that's your price. Now, what I do is I have a bursary fund, and 10% of my revenue goes into that bursary fund. So people who genuinely cannot afford the full contribution can tell me what they can afford, and we can top it up out of the bursary fund. So that's a clear choice I make. I will never turn anybody away who genuinely wants to use my stuff, who genuinely can't pay. But it is amazing how often when I offer that to people, they actually come back saying, you know what, I've thought about it and actually I can afford the full rate. Most of the time, it's just that they were scared. So do what works for you, but think it through and get yourself some clear boundaries on what discounts you want to offer for friends and family. So to wrap up today's podcast, I've got a challenge for you. If you were truly the CEO of a successful company, what would you do about your pricing? What kind of pricing do you want? Do you want entry-level bargain, or do you want top of the range, or somewhere in between? What feels right for you and your market? And is there anywhere in your business where you are underselling your inner genius? Is there anywhere in your business where you are not really valuing yourself, the transformation or the experience that you create for the customer? Because you have to value yourself before your customers will value you. And if you're stuck on these questions, there are some simple statements you can finish off to get some insights here. I charge what I charge because. I charge what I charge because. I can't charge more than I currently charge because. I can't charge more than I currently charge because. And you'll be amazed at some of the answers that come out here. And you might find that you're totally happy with your pricing, which is great. If you've got a local market where the standard rate is such and such, how could you differentiate yourself to prove that you're different and that you're worth more? Just because all your competitors, and I don't think of them as competitors, but just because everybody else in your area is undercharging, it doesn't mean that you have to too. And look at what are the fears that are driving the pricing you're running. If you're not happy with your pricing and you're struggling to make enough money in your business to live off and to look after your family, then your pricing needs sorting. Your business needs to be sustainable. That means you need to be charging enough to be able to cover your running costs, to be able to cover your costs of training, your costs of keeping at the front of your market, the costs of delivering the service, and the costs of living. It's the difference between a hobby and a business. A hobby, an expensive hobby, is a business that doesn't really make us any money. That means we can't afford to live. And the final statement you might want to finish off is, I'm scared to raise my prices because. I'm scared to raise my prices because. And look at the answers that come out without judgment, without drama, without indulging in the stories. And then when you've got those answers, look at them. For each one, ask yourself, is this really true? Or is this just an out-of-date belief? And if it is really true, what action could I take so that this is no longer an issue for me? What action could I take so that this is no longer an issue for me? It might be you need to go on a course. It might be you need to get some mentoring or coaching. It might mean that you want to come and pop by our Facebook group and get some moral support, some peer support. Whatever it is, take action. Don't let those old blocks and fears and excuses and limiting beliefs get in the way of you making the difference that you're here to make. And if you want to join us on Facebook, you can find us by registering for the podcast newsletter at dtdbpodcast.biz. That's Dare to Dream Bigger, dtdbpodcast.biz. And you'll get access to our Dare to Dream Bigger Facebook group. So I hope that's helped today. I hope that's helped you create more of a shift from wage slave to your CEO mindset with your pricing. I'm going to be coming back to pricing a lot over the coming months and years with the podcast. But for now, I'd love to hear from you. Were you falling into any of these pricing traps? What were some of the reasons that you've been choosing the pricing that you have? And what actions could you take today to make that commitment to the future you, to serve more deeply, but also to have a fair energy exchange with those that you're working with and helping? If you want to catch each episode, it's dtdbpodcast.biz. I'd love to connect with you there. And if you want the show notes for this episode, it's dtdbpodcast.biz/001. I hope you have an amazing week. I'll be back soon with the next Dare to Dream Bigger Business Podcast episode.